Okay, let's pray. Pray for me this time. Father, in Jesus' name, I just join my faith with the people that are praying for me. Join my heart with theirs. And we're believing that what I do and say today will bring blessing and benefit to your church and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I started to apologize, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say, praise the Lord, this is a great sermon. I don't know about you, but I battle sometimes with self-esteem. And I kind of want my sermons to be as pretty as that ramp, you know? And they always are. You know what I mean? But we need to work on our self-esteem. And, you know, it's not how well I deliver the word. It's how the word delivers you. I mean, I want to deliver the word. When I pray pre-service, I pray, Lord, help me deliver the word that you gave me. Help me deliver it. Help me put it in the words that need to come out. Help me give me the expressions and the phrases and the illustrations. And Lord, help me to do my part to make your word attractive and acceptable and receivable and digestible. And, you know, I want to do a good job for the Lord. But at the same time, flip the coin over and I realize I'm just a good old boy. I'm not a famous preacher. You are what you are by the grace of God. You know, I am what I am by the grace of God. But I have a revelation that I'd really like for you to get a hold of. And that revelation is that it's not how I deliver the word that counts. It's how the word delivers you that counts. Because the word of God can change your life. For some years, in years past, a long time ago, before most of us knew one another, I sat for several years under a pastor that couldn't preach his way out of a cardboard box. But he knew the word of God right and backwards and frontwards and upside down and backwards and, you know. He knew the word. And he couldn't preach as we think a preacher ought to preach, you know, great elegant words. He just didn't have that. And sometimes he'd stutter and hunt for words and try to say things, you know, that were just almost backwards. But he'd start reading the word, and he'd just read the word and read the word, quote the word, quote the word. He'd memorize the word, and he'd quote that memory of the word. And man, everywhere he went to preach, people's lives were changed by the way the word affected them. Paul the Apostle said at one point, he said, I don't come to you with great enticing or elegant words. I come to you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, that's my prayer, that everything we do and say will bring glory to God and benefit to you, no matter how I think it sounds or how I think it ought to sound. But just to pump up my own self-esteem a little bit, I'll just say by faith, this is a good sermon. Now, I want to ask you a question. It's also the title of my sermon. Who died with Jesus? Well, now, when I heard the Holy Spirit ask me that question a couple weeks ago, I responded. So let me try this again. Who died with Jesus? Well, you know, my response had to be educated. When I heard the Holy Spirit ask me that question, I said, well, the two thieves on the cross, duh. You know, the Lord just smiled and said, why don't you dig a little deeper? So I dug a little deeper. And as I dug into my memory of the word and dug into the word itself and the written scripture, I found out that believers all died with Jesus. That sin died with Jesus. Would you like scriptural proof that you died with Jesus? You pinch yourself, see if you're still alive. Yeah. Remember, we're speaking spiritually, amen? We could also ask the question, who was resurrected with Jesus? And everybody better hope to say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was just meditating even this morning about the two thieves. I got back on them a little while in my study. And you know, I don't have this in the lineup of Scripture, Mark. Mark, did they give you a lineup on Scripture? Okay, this first one is not in there, because this is extracurricular that I'm going to give you. Luke 23. Everybody likes extracurricular. Luke 23. Jesus is had been crucified in this chapter. We get to verse 23:39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. Okay, you get the picture. You all know that, you know the story well enough. You've seen enough art, religious art, to realize there were three crosses, right? Three trees. Jesus supposedly in the middle and a thief on each side. Well, one of these criminals in verse 39 blasphemed him. He's hanging on that cross in utter pain and despair. And he's looking over at Jesus, cursing him, and saying, if you really are the Christ, save yourself and us. If you're really the Christ, do something about this situation. This hurts. But look at verse 40. The other one answering rebuked him and said, don't you not even fear God? You're under the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward for our deeds. In other words, we deserve to be here. But this man's done nothing wrong. And he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. Ooh. And so you've got these two thieves that died on the cross of Jesus, died on crosses with Jesus, not the cross, yeah. One of them is blaspheming and cursing, and the other one saying, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That old boy had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was king. He had a great revelation that Jesus was king, and he said, because I believe he is king, I want to say, Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. Jesus says, well, you know, in paraphrasing, he said, we'll head there as soon as this is over in a few hours. We'll head there. We'll meet in paradise. Don't you know his pain lifted when he heard Jesus say that? I just got a feeling that was the best morphine a guy could ever have, you know? Hallelujah. But it tells us something. It tells us many things that I'd like to know more about. One of the things it tells me is that everybody's not going to get born again. Everybody's not going to get saved. Everybody's not going to receive Jesus or believe that he's king. That's the sad side of the story. But there's another side of the story. You know, praise God for two halves. Amen. There's that guy on the other side saying, hey, let's believe. He says, here I am in this dire situation, bleeding on the cross unto death. But I believe in Jesus. I believe in his kingship. I believe in he is the coming Messiah. I believe that things are going to look better in his kingdom. And I want to be a part of that. And the other thief over there, you know, that's been blaspheming, he's probably yelling at that old boy and saying, well, you dumb fool. Why would you believe at a time like this? Look at yourself. Jesus, speaking of Thomas, a few days later, he said, blessed are those that believe, and more blessed are those that, having not seen, they still believe. That thief on the cross that was believing, he hadn't seen the kingdom yet, other than by faith. Amen? Anyway, so, you know, we want to take care of that. There were two thieves hanging on the cross. Then I'm going, boy, I'm sure glad we're not under Roman rule anymore. They hang a man for being a thief? Boy, that's pretty serious. Okay, we can start the sermon now in Romans 5. And this one I should be able to get up on the screen where you can see the scriptures. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we, who are we talking about here? We. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I want this scripture to establish in our hearts that first of all, Christ did die and he did it for us. Everybody say, he did it for me. Look at somebody and say, he did it for you. Now, turn a page or two to Romans 6, and we're going to read 3 through 13. Are you ready? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into what? His death. Now, he was the one that died, but we're baptized into that death. So where does that put us? In his death. Therefore, we were buried with him. What do you do if somebody dies? Bury him. Or as John Wayne always said, you bury him. He always put the accent on the U, bury him. Did you ever see that? Lord, help me get off of John Wayne, for goodness sakes. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death. You know, we talk about that when somebody wants to be baptized, and we have this lovely baptistry up here. If you want to be baptized in water, please talk to us about that. We'd just love to help you with that. But baptism in water is a beautiful symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. It's like you died spiritually speaking, and you're buried into the water spiritually speaking. Then hopefully you come up from the water spiritually speaking, and you are resurrected again. Amen. Oh Lord, help me stay on this. Where am I? Therefore, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. We were baptized into death. Now remember, we're looking at the title of this sermon, Who Died with Jesus? And the response of some of you was that I did, we did. Well, we're seeing this in the scripture now. Through baptism, we're buried with him in death. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should, everybody say should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united together, you might say united together with Christ in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's good news, folks. You know, Jesus is not dead. And we are not dead. He is resurrected, and that's our future. In the spirit realm, our spirit's already jumping all over that, saying, I'm free. I'm liberated. I'm set free. I am free. I'm free. I'm alive unto Christ. I'm alive. I'm dead to sin and alive unto Christ. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I must be alive. That's good news. Number 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Now that's not your daddy. Your old man speaks of the old carnality that needed to die. Some of us have still got some remnants of old carnality that still needs to die. Every once in a while, I recognize old carnality rising up in my life, and I say, you ugly old man, I consider you dead in Jesus' name. You can't let that old man live. That old man wants you to do the wrong thing with the wrong people at the wrong time. You can't let that old man live. You've got to say, my old man was crucified with Christ. He's a goner. He's dead. And that goes for you girls, too. This could have said old woman, you know, but that's not polite. Where am I? Oh, hallelujah. Our old man. Old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. I love that song we sing. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Oh, man, we ought to sing that every service. Hallelujah. What died on the cross, you know, we, in a sense, our old man, our old person, our uncreated person, our sinful person, our carnality, died with him on the cross. You know, to bring this a little bit closer to home where we live, the stuff you used to do for the devil, need I make a list? Mitch is saying, please don't make a list for me. The old stuff you used to do for the devil. Anybody in here today? Did you ever have some old stuff you used to do for the devil? And aren't you glad it died on the cross of Jesus? You see, your new man didn't die with him. Your new man's resurrected. Your new person is resurrected. Your new person gets to live forever. Your new person is like Jesus. He gets to live eternally and forever and abundantly. Yeah. But that old man is dead. But you need to reckon him, consider him dead. Because every morning when you wake up, he wakes up saying, what can I do to this brother today? And every day, even when you're having a good day, the devil's back in the somewhere in the back room in the closet, hiding, conniving, scheming, trying to figure out how he can get to you. Because he wants you to put your old man back to work and include him back in your day plan. And so it's real important every day to remind the devil, my old man's dead, so I'm not going to get drunk today. My old man's dead, so I'm not going to commit adultery today. My old man's dead, so I'm not going to deliver a ton of drugs today. Oh, I mean, you know. Goes on and on, the list. My old man's dead, so I'm not going to be hateful to the person I love. My old man's dead, so I'm not going to be hateful to the person I'm learning to love. My old man's dead, so I'm not going to be hateful to the person I really didn't want to love. I'm not going to be hateful to anybody because that hateful died on the cross with Jesus. Aren't you glad hateful died on the cross with Jesus? You know, I'm glad your hateful died on the cross with Jesus because now you're so sweet. Where are we? Number 7. He who has died has been freed from sin. See, when we died on the cross, we became free. Everybody say, I'm free. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. It's so important that these two go together. The old man dies, the new man lives. The old junk dies, the new stuff lives. Number 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Huh. You mean he don't have to die again? Nope. It's all sealed and delivered. Done deal. He died and it's over. Death no longer has dominion over him. Verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. And the life that he lives to God. Number 11, likewise you. That means you. Are you everybody here this morning? That means you. Likewise you also reckon or consider yourselves dead indeed to sin. This comes back to what I just said a minute ago. We have to remind ourselves and remind the devil and remind everybody the old man's dead. It says here you have to reckon yourselves dead to sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. Establish it in your own heart. I'm dead to sin. When sin comes knocking on the door, you recognize it, slam the door in his face. He said, no, I'm dead to sin. He can't come in my house anymore. You say, well, what is sin? Well, you remember the bracelet and the bumper sticker and it said WWJD. What would Jesus do? Answer that question. You'll figure out what's sin, what's not. Where are we? Number 11. Isn't it beautiful? Reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive. So not only do we reckon the old man, the old person, the old carnal person dead, but also reckon that we are alive in Christ, alive in God, in Christ Jesus. You know, it's good to remind ourselves, I'm alive in the Lord, whether we feel like it or not. I don't know about you, but there's times when I look in the mirror and say, I look at the wall. And so I have to remind myself, wait a minute, look back in the mirror. God made that boy. And he don't make mistakes, so he's got something good going on for him. And then you smile at yourself. Looking in the mirror, right? Make yourself smile. They're going to try this. Go home and try this. Look in the mirror and see if you can smile at yourself. There's days when it's hard. So you got to say, hey, you in the mirror, you're alive unto God in Christ Jesus. The past don't count. The now counts. And I'm alive. Where am I? Were we going to go to 13? I don't want to go to 13. Let's go to Colossians 2:10. Thank God for Jesus. Colossians 2:10. What did they do with that book? There it is. 2:10 through 13. Okay, now that we have died, our old man has died on the cross. Look at this. Verse 10 says, now you're complete in him. Complete. So you look in the mirror and say, you're complete, honey. In him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision in Christ. You put off that flesh. Verse 12, buried with him, there it is again, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him, Jesus, from the dead. Isn't that good news? Well, let's read 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your heart or flesh, he has made alive together with him, Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses except that one you keep remembering. Well, wait a minute, that changes the sermon a little bit. Let's just stay with the written word, having forgiven you all the trespasses. I mean, we could agree with the devil that there's still something there that needs to be forgiven. No, just dump it all over here. Dump it all over here on the cross and say, it's all done. It's a done deal. My old man's dead. My stupid man's dead. My goofy man's dead. My ugly man's dead. My sinful man's dead. My carnal man's dead. My flesh man's dead. I'm going to live for Jesus. Everybody's happy. While we're in Colossians, go to chapter 3. And let's read the first 10 verses just for the fun of it, okay? The Bible's fun. If then you were raised with Christ, now I believe we've established some facts, or certainly tried to, by a number of scriptures this morning, we've established the fact that we've been raised with Christ. Old man's dead, new man's raised with Christ. Are you ready? So what he's saying here, if you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you believe you're raised with Christ, it's time to look up. Look, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind, your what? You know, I would just be such a wonderful Christian if it wasn't for my mind. That's why the Word says that our mind is washed by the washing of the water of the Word. If you're having a mind problem, brainwash it with the Word of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, remember we said early he's coming back? When he appears, then you will appear with him in glory. In his glorious return, there's going to be a glory come on us, folks. We have no idea how great that's going to be. Number 5, therefore put to death your members, carnal members, which are on the earth. Now here they are. Would you like to know what the carnal members are? Fornication. What's a nasty word? Uncleanliness. And he's not talking about dirty hands. Passion. Evil desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry, putting anything before God. So if any of these things try to stick their head up, you say, no, you're dead. Fornication tries to raise up, you say, no, you're dead. Evil desire rises up, no, you're dead. Idolatry, no, you're dead. You got to speak to these things when they try to rise up. Verse 6, because on these things, the wrath of God's coming on the sons of disobedience. We don't want to be a part of that. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. That was our past. But now, verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Here's some more things we got to get rid of. Remember, they died on the cross. Anger died on the cross. Wrath died on the cross. Malice died on the cross. Blasphemy died on the cross. Filthy language out of your mouth and mine died on the cross. Do not lie to one another. So lies died on the cross. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Everybody still here, right? Number 10. Nine and 10 go together. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, Christ, who created him. Ooh. Old man gets put off, new man gets put on. Anybody here have an old coat? Would you like to have a new coat? I've got those both in my closet. I wish I'd have brought them for an illustrated sermon. You put the old coat on and say, that thing is ugly. It must have died on the cross. Why don't you dump it, put it in the trash, and go get that new coat and put it on and say, now this is what Jesus, a Jesus man, looks like. Huh? Yeah. And you girls can do it with your coats too. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. The Word is establishing something here today. All these scriptures we're reading are establishing something, that the old man's dead. He died with Jesus on the cross. And the new man lives in you. Put him on. Let him live. Ephesians 4, where verses are 22 and 23 and 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct. Everybody here has former conduct, right? The things you used to do. And you say, preacher, don't bring that up again. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of, there it is again, your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then he goes on to verses under that, going talking about in great explanation, talking about what's ugly and what died and what's pretty and what lives. And, you know, it just goes on and on. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Is one of my favorite scriptures. I have a lot of favorites. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I know it's in here. I saw it earlier. There it is. Are we ready? Read this with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is this the good news? Is this the good news? You know, you really need to be glad that the old man has passed away. I know, now this does work for girls. Don't forget this works for girls. I don't want my old man back. I want him to stay on the cross. Even though I was raised in a Christian home and found the Lord early in my life, I did many, 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 many things throughout my life that I regretted deeply. I found out enough about the old man to really do want him dead. The old man is so ugly. He just gets you in trouble. If you let that old man raise up in your life, he's just going to get you in trouble, honey. He's going to cause you to hurt. Don't let old man live. Keep him on the cross. Everybody said amen. I like that last part of 17. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. In other words, not counting their sins, not holding it against you. And he's now committed to us the word of reconciliation. For now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he who made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, Christ Jesus. Lord, help us get this revelation. If we can come to a place where we have that deep, sincere, clear revelation of who we are in Christ, then we won't want to have anything to do with that old man again. Because the Christ side is the better side. The living for Christ side is the better side. In the middle of verse 19, it says, God doesn't impute their trespasses to them. I like some of the newer translations. It says, God doesn't hold your sins against us, or God doesn't keep an account of your sins. There's a scripture which I didn't look up because I didn't even think about it at the time of preparation here, but there's a scripture in Psalms said that he puts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, like the deepest sea, the sea of forgetfulness, one version says. And the other old boy says, and then he put up a sign, no fishing. He put your sins in the deepest sea and put up a sign, no fishing. Leave him in the bottom. Ephesians 2:1. I'm so glad the Lord decided to do this forgiveness thing, or we'd have sure been in a mess. Ephesians 2, ready? This is, yeah, we're ready. Let's do this. 10 verses. And you, who? You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. That's not you, no, no. Who was that? Somebody said, that's not me. We've all been there. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4. Now it's shouting time. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. I like the Amplified Version. It says, because of his desire to satisfy the great love that he wanted to satisfy the great love that he has for us. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love which he loved it, with which he loved us, even when we were. You notice how he keeps going to the past and bringing it back to the present? Back and forth, back and forth. He wants us to get the message here of what was, who we were, and what is, who we are. Number 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you've been saved. Verse 6, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, together. Next time the devil's bugging you, say, hey devil, check who I'm sitting by. Number 7 tells us the reason he did all this wonderful thing. It's so that in the ages to come, he may show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We know so very, very minutely, tiny, tiny, teeny, teeny, weeny, weeny little about our future compared to what it is. But there, here's a hint of one of the things that's in our future. God's going to be bragging on us. He's going to say, look what they were and look what I made them to be. Look what they used to do and look what they're doing now. He's planning on bragging on this process and what he's done with us. He's going to brag on us in the ages to come. This is important to God, guys. This is not something he's going to forget, and we won't forget it either. Are you still with me? Verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, For because we are his workmanship, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them now. Please stand to your feet. I'm hoping that we answered the question for you today, who died on the cross of Jesus? My old man. My old man. And the girls are saying, my old girl, my old woman. Everybody say this. Okay, the boys say this. I'm not the same old boy I used to be. I didn't hear very many of them. I'm not the same old boy I used to be. Okay, girls, do it with a girl. I'm not the same old girl. Come on, girls. Hallelujah. Aren't we glad? Aren't we happy about that? We're rejoicing in that. Amen. Please close your eyes for a moment. If you still feel like your old man's in control, Jesus wants to change that today. And it just could be that you need to move into an act of faith this morning. And we can pray with you, and by believing with you, things can change today. If that old man's been bugging you to the point that it feels like he's still in control, I want you to just be bold about it. You know, there's no secrets anywhere in God. No secrets in this town anyway. But we want to pray with you if you feel like the old man's still in control. Or if you've never accepted Jesus publicly as your Lord and Savior, you really need to do that. Jesus said clearly, he said, those that testify of me, those that believe in me publicly, he says, I'll testify of them before the Father. But he says, for those that deny me publicly, I'll deny before the Father. And so there comes a point in our life where we need to make a public declaration. Sometimes even in the midst of our elementary embarrassment, we just need to push all that aside and say, hey, I feel in my heart I need to make a public declaration of Jesus Christ. I need to invite publicly, let everybody know that I'm inviting him into my heart. Let everybody know that I want my life to change. I want everybody to know that I am a believer. I want everybody to know that I'm believing my old man's dead and my new man is alive with Christ. And if you want to pray anything around that line of thought today, we'd just be happy to pray with you right now. Just come running up here. Be bold about it. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, many of us have been Christians for a long time. But I just really feel like in my heart, Lord, that we need these scriptures renewed on a regular basis to remember where we came from and to remember who we now are in you, to remember what we used to be and to remember what you're making us to be now, to remember the past and to remember what you have in store for the future. Lord, you've got so many blessings in store for your children, and we get to be a part of that. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this will be a revelation to all of us today. A revelation of the importance of letting the old man die with you on a cross, and the importance of embracing and receiving by faith the new man in Christ who lives right, who turns from sin and lives right. Lord, I want to thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for including us in the resurrection, including us in the abundant eternal life. Lord, you're so good to us, and we love you so much. Lord, I pray that we'll all take this message to the world around us, to our coworkers and our loved ones and our neighbors, to the people we meet and communicate with, that we'll take this message to them as ambassadors. You said in 2 Corinthians, Lord, we're ambassadors for Christ now, pleading with people to be reconciled to God, because God doesn't hold your sins against you anymore. Jesus paid for that. He wants you to come and be in His love and be a part of His future plan. Father, thank You for helping us to be faithful ambassadors in Jesus' name. Well, we want to invite you to stay and eat with us today. We do have more. Barbara and I made enough food for about 9 people. So that means at least 7 people that didn't bring anything need to stay just to eat that. And then there's even more yet. So please stay and eat with us if you can. We love you dearly. Pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And anybody that still has an offering you want us to get to Jessica, if you need to do that through the church for a receipt or in any other form later, please, we'll work with you with that. In Jesus' name, bless you, bless you, bless you.